The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay. Trying to get back into the swing of things, into the spirit of the new year. I have been fighting it. Haven't been excited about 2022 for whatever reason. I think because I had a nice long break and it's been hard to kind of get back going. And just finished teaching again this week with six classes and just did three classes today. So just kind of struggling to get back into the swing of things as we come into the new year. And so setting that aside, just setting aside any personal challenge you might be having with getting into the new year. It's not exactly exciting in a lot of different ways. It's been interesting to gauge from people how you're feeling about 2022. I think there's a lot of trepidation. People just don't know what. I think for a lot of people, if you're politically involved, you're looking forward to November, but we don't know what's going to happen. You've got Omicron ripping its way through everything. I know so many people that are vaxxed that have Omicron, and that's all over the place, not just here in America, but around the world. And so you have shutdowns. You look at Chicago, the teachers refuse to go back to school. So that's a big mess there. Inflation, have you noticed that? I was just talking to my students in class this week, my government class. We were talking about fiat money that power the U.S. dollar. I said, did your dollar go as far today as it did 3 years ago? And these are 16, 17-year-olds, and they're like, no. And they get it because inflation is on the rise. That's a big deal. Then let's turn on our Christian worldview. If we're going to talk about moral truths, God-given identities. Carl Truman was on the show earlier last year. I think it was in August. Incredible book. How do we get to the point, basically, in our culture, in the worldwide culture, where a guy says, hey, you know what? I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. And a good chunk of the population just goes, yeah, okay, well, whatever. How do we get there? So you've got that going on. God-given identities, those are continuing to dissolve. America's polarized pretty much every which way you can think, socially, racially, politically. Inside the body of Christ, we have a lot of issues there. We've separated ourselves quite well over COVID and masking and vaccines. And on top of that, into our topic today on Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary, we've got a major brewing pastor shortage. Barna Research, George was on just a couple months ago. 40% of pastors have considered leaving the ministry. We've got a whole lot of pastors that are aging out. This is like a really bad farm system. So the NFL would collapse under this system. The Major League Baseball would collapse under this system. You get all these great players, but they're going to be out of here soon. Who's coming behind them? So we have a massive pastor shortage, and that's a problem. So overall, if you don't have a sound worldview, if you're struggling, which is normal for most of us, man, it seems like Satan, the roaring lion, is gaining territory. Okay, it seems like it's going his way. We know that in the end it doesn't, but in the meantime, most of us can struggle with that. Circumstances seem similar to those. See if this sounds familiar. What did Paul say? This is in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unholy, without natural affection. You know what that means. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That just sounds like an average hour on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and Instagram. So there's a lot of problems out there. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Alan Benson, who's the Executive Vice President at the Bob Jones University, as well as heading up many of the ministry efforts at the Bob Jones Seminary. It's great to see you, buddy. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Happy New Year, Steve. It is great to be back. What a description you gave.
How rosy.
All that to put it all together. I can see why you don't have rose-colored glasses in 2022.
No, I do not. I mean, it's a really difficult circumstance, and I appreciate it. The first time you and I did radio earlier last year in the late spring, we were talking about something that I really wasn't aware about. I was not aware of this major pastor problem that we have, which, of course, is a big initiative, the 500x5x5 vision of Bob Jones Seminary, and I just wasn't aware of it. And our mutual friend, Stu Epperson, said, hey, will you interview this guy from BJU? And I'm like, well, sure, fine. Which led to our relationship, which I thank God for. But I don't know that many of us understand the depths of this problem.
Yeah. It is, as you mentioned, I love the illustration of the farm system because I think that's where the problem lies. So what are we facing today? We're facing, as you mentioned, 40% of current pastors saying, when I see my way clear and I can feel responsible and remove myself from my church, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You've got the scenario where right now there are more pastors over 70 than there are under 40.
Jeez.
Which means that's the next wave. Just people that without problems need to retire.
Yeah.
Is going to create a greater need. But then I add to that third part, the farm system. Where are the young men who, 1 Timothy 3, desire the office of a bishop to fill the ranks? Are they jumping into seminary and ministry training? Are they preparing for ministry? Are they looking that way? And that's actually the question right now that we feel we need to begin to focus on and answer, and that is, who's coming next?
Yeah.
Do we believe God can do it? Can. I mean, look at the end of the Second World War.
Yeah.
We're facing the same thing. We had a war. People come home from the war, and every seminary got filled.
Wow.
Right? So God can, and maybe out of a crisis like this, he's going to identify a problem we didn't realize we had and raise up an army. But we just need to make sure that proactively we're praying the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest.
Yeah, so we're going to unpack this problem and the solution and things that can be done and kind of unpack what Jesus was talking about as well in Matthew 9 and talking about praying for laborers to send out to the harvest, because I think we're all well aware of the fact that the harvest is ripe and the fields are ripe unto harvest. And I mentioned George Barna a couple times and it had him on last year, Alan, several times. And one of the visits was talking about the reality that only about 6% of Americans have a convictional operational biblical worldview. And so you have a massively lost culture. That's why the country looks the way it does. And really the only answer to that is the same answer that it's always been, which is the gospel and shifting a culture by seeing hearts and minds shifted. And the gospel is the only answer to that. So we're going to have a lot to unpack today on Theology Thursday, but we're coming up on the first break, Alan. But generally it's a brand new semester. Things are just kicking off the beginning of the school year. How are things down at BJU and the seminary?
Well, our students actually come in on Monday
Wow.
to start the semester. So we're gearing up, getting ready this week. And we're excited for the semester. Part of that is because the Lord allowed us to finish really well at the end of the semester. Everybody knows Christmas and the break introduced us to widespread Omicron.
Yeah.
What's that look like when everybody comes back? Our student body's coming from all 50 states and
Wow.
40 countries.
Jeez.
We're going to have quite the soup. And we're preparing for that
and
what that mix brings. But we're really excited. Student body is healthy. We have, I think, as of this morning, 50 to 60 brand new first-time students
Wow.
coming on our campus
That's awesome.
That semester, which is really cool.
And a lot going on in the seminary. You got the core conference coming up right at the end of this month, beginning of February, which we're going to talk about. That's a great opportunity if you're a lay leader, if you're a pastor, for you to tell your pastor coming down to Greenville, South Carolina, the core conference, which we'll talk about as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary talking about a pastor problem. We've got a problem with pastors, and we're not speaking specifically about what pastors are teaching. We're just talking numbers right now, that there's more pastors over 70 than there are under 40, 40% of them that are operating today, 40% of pastors in America that are operating today. If they had a way out tomorrow, they'd take it. They'd be gone. So as I mentioned with Alan Benson, who's executive vice president, also involved with the BJU Seminary, that it's kind of like a farm system in the Major League Baseball, and you have a bunch of great players, but most of them are about to retire, and you look back at the double A's and the triple A's, and you're like, there's not enough guys there, and soon enough, we can't even field the team. That's a reality that we're facing and something that's a big part of what's going on at BJU Seminary and why we'll talk about the 500x5x5. Which is a direct engagement of the problem, and then the core conference coming up. How did we get to this situation, Alan? Talk about the pathology, and thanks again for spending time with us today. But how do we get to the point where we have a lot of pastors that want to leave, and we not have many young men that want to come in and be pastors at all?
I think there's been a brewing storm, a number of factors. One, I think we have seen an interesting development as our culture before any of COVID and all of that. Where were we? And I think we saw an aging pastorate because people lived a little longer. They felt a little better. They managed a little different. There weren't a lot of crises. And so I think we set the stage with a lot of guys who are pastoring longer and older than they have before.
Yeah.
I think now this crisis hits, and one of the things that has happened is every church virtually went virtual, and a bunch of people haven't come back. During that time, I think you've had people say, hey, you know, we'd never really thought about shopping for a church. We're already out. Maybe this is a good time. Hey, you know that one we watched online or whatever? And I think what you've seen is shrinking churches, and you put all of that together, and we're facing a scenario where you've got guys retiring or guys just dropping out, and the churches they're leaving aren't any longer in a place that they can support a full-time pastor.
Wow.
So where do they go to get one? I talked with a man yesterday whose entire job for a ministry organization is helping interim pastors. Like, he is working with people and getting interims to go into churches to help the supply while they're looking for a pastor. He has 15 couples that he has that are doing that, and he said they can't come anywhere close to keeping up.
Wow.
Like, so there's all these places that are – they can't get an interim to come in and cover while they go through the process.
Wow.
So I think there's a number of factors, and then you add to that the level of discouragement and complexity in our culture. And I think you've got a lot of guys that are like, whoa, I'm not prepared for this. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to answer this. You turn that around and you have the division in the church, and there's one tip to the spear in a church with one pastor, which, you know, a church of 100, 150 is one pastor.
Well, the average church, for most people don't know this, Alan, the average church in America is still about 95 people.
That's correct.
So if you go to church with 500, you think, oh, yeah, that's a decent-sized church, but it's not a mega church. Yes, it is. The average-sized church, and there's about 350,000 churches nationwide, the average size is still less than 100. It's 95. They're barely hanging on.
Yeah. So one pastor, division in the church over whatever, vaccines, masks, whatever. He's the one guy. And so it all points at him from both sides. And there's a lot of them saying, I'm out.
I can think of better things to do. What about young people? Like, what do you see at BJU Seminary, at Bob Jones Seminary, in terms of the influx of pastors? Because I think that's the other end of the scale, is that we have fewer and fewer men. And when we say men, that's because we're just being biblical here, okay? So we call men into the pastorate. So the senior pastors. So fewer and fewer young people considering it. What do you think's going on there?
I just think some of it is somewhat generational, meaning here we are 2 years into a crisis, and crisis typically is what generates our ministry thinking, unfortunately. I mentioned coming out of the Second World War to you a minute ago. There was a real need. We saw people say, whoa, okay, we got to go help. We saw an uptick in at least spiritual thinking coming out of 9/11. So up until then, we haven't had a whole lot. And they're like, oh, the church doesn't need me. You look at the stats just generally on Gen Z, Gen X before them, millennials. We've seen decreasing interest, at least, in church.
Yeah.
And thus you take the percentages and you just have less people than interested in doing ministry out of that group. And so that's been the trends leading into this crisis.
Yeah, and that's the challenge that we have to face. And again, we do the same thing with the federal budget. We don't really think much about what's going to happen to us or to the next generation. I'll be 56 next month. I know the odds are I've got, based on family lineage, maybe 30, 35 years left, and then I go to be with the Lord. I'm out of here. And so none of this stuff, a lot of these things aren't going to fall on my head. I'll be with the Lord. I'll be out. But we have to start thinking about what's happening behind us. And so many people, Alan, they love the country. They're worried about the country. Well, you better be aware of the fact that we have a spiritual drought of leadership on our hands. And if you want to see the country go in the right direction, you got to have strong spiritual leadership. So that kind of takes us into, and by the way, we're basing some of our conversation today off the brand new blog post in the Seminary Viewpoints blog, which I put up just earlier. So you can always check that out. All the things that we do here on the show with our friends at BJU. At the seminary are all on the special page that they set up for us, seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, all the different posts and podcasts and blogs that we talk about with the guests each week that we have from Bob Jones Seminary are all right there. And again, today we're kind of basing it on one that Alan wrote called God is on the Move in 2022, Investing in Pastors to Advance the Gospel. And so how do we look at this biblically, Alan? Because this is a huge hill to climb. It's a huge challenge. How do we look into the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, and say, okay, what's God calling us to do here? You'd like to think it's obvious, but I want to make sure we understand the biblical underpinning.
Yeah. So I am convinced that there is something going on in raising up next generation preachers in the pastoral epistles, right? There's something different there than there is, say, to Ephesians or Galatians or whatever. You know, Paul writing to Timothy, Paul writing to Titus. And so when you look there, you get all this truth that's there, but throughout it, you get these words that says, but you, my son, my son in the faith, you've got this connection. And I, you know, I want to be careful with the strength with which I say this, you know, because I don't want to make absolutes that things that aren't. But I guess I'll say it this way. We can only disciple into what we are. It's really hard to say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to be this, but I'm going to disciple you to be that. So I really think there's something going on there, that there was a uniqueness to Paul's understanding of ministry and then what that meant in him discipling Timothy to be a minister. And I'm convinced that part of what needs to happen is that those who are pastoring need a fresh view of who am I actually bringing behind me? Is there somebody I'm actually talking, like when you look at what Paul does with Timothy, he says, you know, and he talks about his life, you know, my struggles and where I suffered. And there was a personal relationship that somehow Timothy knew exactly what he was facing. Are pastors doing that with anybody?
Right. Great question.
A younger guy says, hey, look, I just want to be really real with you. I want to talk to you about what's going on, about what ministry is and the struggles and the fact that it's worth it. And so I see three things going on kind of there, particularly in 1 Timothy, where I think this kind of relationship needs to happen if we're going to see future pastors.
Well, that was what I was just thinking. We're up against the break. We're going to unpack that with Dr. Alan Benson when we come back, is how many pastors are even talking to their congregations and saying, hey, guys, I need some Timothys to follow me. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at BJU Seminary, Bob Jones Seminary. And by the way, we always have, there's all kinds of resources. There's great resources for people like me, people like most of you. We're just lay people, just regular Christians trying to live out the life as best as we can and try to make a difference in the people's lives that are around us. But there's all kinds of great resources that we're sharing every week on Theology Thursday. So the seminary set up a special page for us where you can land on all these different resources, the blog posts that we discuss each week with our awesome guests. So all that stuff's there, plus links to other things like the Core Conference, which we'll talk about here in a second. The website, same as always, seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, seminary.bju.edu/radio. The easiest way, just be on Facebook. Go to the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, and you'll see the links there. Also, the link for today's blog post, which we're working through to a certain degree with our good friend Dr. Alan Benson from the seminary, and then also things like the Core Conference coming up, which directly to what we're talking about today, Alan. We're talking about this. We have a bunch of pastors that want to leave. We have a bad farm system. We have a bunch of players on the field right now, but we don't have many coming up behind being trained. This is really at the center of what BJU Seminary is working on with the 500x5x5 program, which we'll touch on. But tell us a little bit about the Core Conference. This is when you think of the word core, especially think of C, R, and E, awake, proclaiming truth to a broken culture. This really is an incredible opportunity that we live in. As screwed up as this country is right now and as dark as it is right now, man, that makes our job and our opportunity all the more exciting. So tell us a little about the Core Conference coming up at the beginning of February.
So Core Conference, you mentioned the CRE, is about connecting, about refreshing, and about getting equipped. It is a time when we focus on lifting up arms, on helping, on answering questions, on building relationships. And this year we've picked this theme, awake, proclaiming God's truth to a broken culture because of what we're facing. And then the head-scratching moment of what do I do with all of this? And so we're really focusing on some of the issues of the day and helping people know how to take God's truth and declare it to this kind of a world.
Yeah.
And so the idea of awake, obviously, we're talking about being woke in culture. Well, yeah. I do think there's a being awake to righteousness and the truth of God. And we're focusing on helping people understand what God says and how to take it and rightly speak that truth into this culture. And that really is. So how do we deal with CRT? How do we really deal with critical theory in general? Does the truth of God speak to that? Mm-hmm. How do I interact with people in regard to the hopelessness that's going on in our culture? Is there hope to be offered? How do I make gospel connections in a world that has a different north on their moral compass than I have on mine? How can I relate to that and yet find the pathways to speaking God's truth into a culture like that? And so it's really going to be a time of, I think, incredible equipping. I think those that come will get the opportunity to hear from experts. How do we actually do this? Where do I find answers? We all know we're supposed to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We're trying to help give that answer. It'll be a time, I really believe, for those who are struggling right now to be encouraged. This conference in particular, every session is going to finish with a prayer meeting because we need to hear from God.
Yeah.
Now, we're using the little expression, we don't want this to be a moment. Who needs another conference?
No kidding.
We want this to be the beginning of a movement of God, not our movement, but God working in us. Right. Pastors who are going to go back home and say, you know what, church, let's get on our knees before God. Let's ask God to do something special. Let's ask God to help us see our own souls revived and our community reach for Christ. And so starting, in a sense, a prayer movement that says, God, we need you. God, the church is your church. And the church doesn't need me, it needs you. And God, after me, it's going to need other pastors. And I want to be a part of it, but I can't get them. You do. You call these men to ministry, right. And you help us equip them. And so really, beginning of a movement of the church being stirred to being awake to what God is going to do in this moment.
Yeah, so primarily, obviously, the focus on pastors, but lay leaders and really anybody that's got a trying to have a serious mission mindset as a Christian is the opportunity to come and be a part of this. It's all day Monday, January 31st, and I think it's half a day on the next day, February 1st. Is that right, Alan?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you've got that. There's special early bird registration. It's not an expensive thing to go to. It's like $75 early bird and then a special price for spouses. And it's down in Greenville, and the campus is beautiful. So make sure you check that out. I've got the links up on Facebook Live, and I'll continue to share that. Plus, you'll be hearing. You'll hear the ad on the radio show during the week, each day during the week, and just really encourage you. Share this with your pastor, especially the leadership of your church. But if you're in leadership at all, lay leadership, this is something you should seriously consider doing. Because it's a great opportunity. We see this with COVID and how fear has driven so much of the American response to this and Americans' willingness to kind of go along with the narrative, because fear is everywhere. Darkness is everywhere. And it's just a really exciting time for us if we're going to have a heart for the lost. If we're going to have the same kind of heart that the Lord has, that's not going to just happen. This has to be really strategic and really intentional. And I appreciate you saying about the focus on prayer, because we need God to be the first and main mover in all this. We can conference ourselves to death, but if God's not moving, you're wasting your time. You're just patting yourself on the back. So I appreciate you sharing that. We'll talk a little bit about it before we finish the show again. But we were talking about, you mentioned Paul ministering to Timothy, and you mentioned three different areas that you really want to invest in the next generation of preachers and make sure that this is on front and center on the radar screen. Proclamation, personal holiness, and prayer. So let's start with proclamation.
Yeah, you know, God's work is done through God's truth. Mm. And you think about what Paul says to Timothy about the word. It's to Timothy that he says, this is a God-breathed word, that it is sufficient for the man of God, for all that God has called him to do, to know what is right, to know what is wrong, to know how to turn from what is wrong and how to embrace what is right. He is commanded to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. You see Paul talking to the Ephesian elders when he knows he's leaving them, and he encourages Timothy and them with regard to the ministry of the word, that it's essential for faith and it's essential for growth and obedience. And so we really are going to focus on, even at our conference, the proclamation of the word. Mm-hmm. One, to build us up, but then how do I proclaim the word? I think in seeing our pastor shortage addressed on the human plane, I think our young people need to understand that we're not resourceless. Mm. We've got a tool and we've got the answers. And I think somehow we need to be able to be communicating to the younger generation. We have God's truth, and God has asked us to declare it into the culture. Will you do that? Will you sign up for that?
And let me just stop you right there, Alan, because that was one of my comments and questions. I think one of the challenges in being in the modern age and the digital age and everything is so well packaged. We're all digital snobs at this point. And so I think we have a problem as Christians in general, but perhaps in the pastorate as well, in believing that if you just preach the accurate word of God, that it doesn't require digital marketing. It doesn't require the right lighting and the right sound. Those things can be important and they can help. But the real power is in just the simple proclamation of the simple truth of God's word. I think a lot of us are like, yeah, I don't know that's kind of old fashioned. Do you think we've lost maybe our belief or our trust that just proclaiming the word of God is going to have an impact?
I couldn't agree with you more, Steve. Our seminary's tagline is proclaim the word, serve the church, advance the gospel. And that very first statement is actually the source of everything we are going to do.
Yeah.
Why have a seminary?
Right.
What is the church? It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And I believe, yes, we should do everything we can within a given culture to accurately steward that word.
Yeah.
Use all the tools you have.
Good.
But when you turn to the tools and don't declare the word, you've made yourself a light show that has no substance.
Wow. Yeah, and I think, again, you just go, hey, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's Absolutely. Where we have to go, okay, I'm going to have faith that the same thing that's been true for the last few thousand years is still true today in the digital age. That the word of God in and of itself, without the lighting, without the cool music, without whatever, still has power. So you say, well, I'm gonna share a Christian worldview, but I'm not going to use scripture. Well, okay, hey, nice Ferrari, but you got no gas in the tank.
Right.
And I think we have to remember that and trust that it's just the word of God. Because when I got saved, Alan, it was months of deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. I was listening to Bill Hybels, who was the pastor of Willow Creek, so I'm listening to seeker-sensitive preaching, but there was enough of the word of God there that it was just the word of God that cut me to the quick. I didn't have a single conversation with anybody face-to-face in that nine-month run up to me giving my life to Christ and being born again that talked to me about my sin. It was all the Holy Spirit and the power of the word of God. That's all it was. And we have to remember that, hey, actually, that is where the dunamis, that is where the dynamite, that is where the power is.
Absolutely. Steve, one of my burdens is we tend to see the big outlets, right? So we're seeing Christian radio and we're hearing preachers on there and all of that sort of thing. What I don't believe we realize is that the vast majority of the percentage of where the word is actually heard, taught, and invested in people is in these small churches.
Yeah. Oh, man.
100 people, yeah. And somebody labors and stands before them.
Such a great point.
It is not
That's
over
right.
all of these big radio
shows.
We'll
be back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. By the way, the core conference coming up, that's Monday, January 31st, and half the day on Tuesday, February 1st. And that's whether you're a pastor, if you're on staff at a church, you're a lay leader, or you're just serious and need to, you know that you need to get more equipped to engage this darkening culture. And a culture that's so hopeless, COVID has shown that, fear running rampant, this country that we say we love, desperately needs Christians to be Christians. They definitely need us to listen to the teaching and the leadership of Paul to become Timothy's, and that's why we're talking today with our good friend Dr. Alan Benson, and he's the executive vice president at the university as well as on staff at the seminary at Bob Jones. And it's such an important topic as we talk about what's going on with pastors and a way to reach them and train them and encourage them, which is going on again at the core conference. But you mentioned proclamation of the word, which we have to get back to believing that actually is the power. So we got to get the word of God out there. But also in terms of Paul and Timothy, personal holiness, which can be a real challenge in this world that we live in, this digital age, it's crazy, as well as prayer. So let's talk about what Paul called a holy manner of life.
Yeah. So when you look at 1 Timothy 3, right, we see all these qualifications for ministry. And it's not like go somewhere, sit on a pedestal in order to be used. It's actually live a life of being usable. Are any of us perfect in all of those qualifications? It is actually to strive to live a life of being qualified to be used by God. That's what he's laying out there. It's living with a heart of ready repentance. Mm-hmm. God, I'm living in a dirty world, and I get dirty. God, I want to be right with you. And I have this heart that runs to God in repentance. You see that in Paul. I mean, Paul in Romans 7 said, man. Oh, wretched man that I am, right? He looked at his own life. He called himself the chief of sinners. But you see Paul also saying, man, the grace of God was abundant for me, and I realize I'm forgiven. We need to model a life of ready repentance to the church. Mm-hmm. I think the days of this picture of ministry being, I'm going to model perfection for you. You know I'm not, but I'm going to give you a model so you can strive for it. And then I live fake in front of you, and you live fake in front of me.
Oh, man.
And we all pretend while we're together. I think our culture is so broken, all that is gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you pull your hair out when Robbie Zacharias explodes.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. You know, we walk into church, when we walk into church, and we say, hey, how are you? I'm great. Oh, good. So am I. Nice to see you.
Praise God. Yeah.
And it is time. It is time for us. To say, hey, you know what? God did not call me to run a solo race. Mm-hmm. Every New Testament letter is filled with one another's. Encourage one another, love one another, exhort one another, challenge one another. We need this dynamic relationship of fortifying each other in our walk with God and communicating to one another, you know what? I am not perfect. But man, I long to be right with God, and I need help. Can we pray together? Yeah. Can you keep me accountable? Can we talk together? When you get discouraged, can you come to me? I want to go to you. And part of what Core Conference is going to do is help with the connection. I want to throw something out, Steve. I think this is an opportunity for a deacon or two to say, hey, you know what, Pastor? We've never done this before. We want to take you to Core Conference. Mm-hmm. Conference will be great, but we want to go so we can be together. The drive there, the drive home, the time we stay together, we're hearing the same truth, we're praying for our church. If there are church leaders like that out there, a layman that's just involved, I would, hey, this is a time, you may not even know your pastor's discouraged.
Yeah, that's right.
Grab him, say, hey, you know what, there's this conference going on, I want to take it, let's go do that together. We would love to see those people come that way. And it be about effectiveness for ministry, which isn't perfection. It's about striving hard after Jesus, dealing with sin when it comes, getting help with discouragement. That is this drive to personal holiness that I think Paul's communicating to Timothy.
Yeah. Yeah, such an important point, and that's a great encouragement and reminder to all of us. Again, the links are up at Facebook Live, so you can check that out on the Steve Noble Show page, seminary.bju.edu/radio. But just follow the link. It's a little easier because that'll take you there. Early bird discount right now for the Core Conference coming up January 31st and February 1st. $75 to attend, $25 for a spouse. That's a great early bird discount. Then the general public, $125 for you, $50 for your spouse, and then for BJU community. Of course, it's free for the faculty and the staff and the students. But this is a thing, just gift it to your pastor, gift it to staff members and their spouses, because I can guarantee you they need it. I think a lot of us, Alan, mistakenly think our pastors have it all together and everything's fine because they're spiritual giants. But that's not true. Most pastors are struggling. You're a pastor. Do you think that's a legitimate observation on my part?
I think we as pastors become really, really good at hiding our discouragement.
Man,
I just do. Like, okay, I can't get up in the pulpit and preach for 45 minutes and let everybody see I'm open, right? So what do we do? I think we cover really well. I think too often we say, boy, if I communicate to the church, boy, that I'm struggling right now, they may say, I'm struggling too, so I don't need to be with a guy that's struggling. I'll go to the church across town where people aren't struggling because I'm the one struggling and I need the help. And that just isn't the New Testament model of biblical Christianity. Uh-huh. But somehow we fall prey to that relationally.
No, I think that's why I prefer visually in my mind. I'm a visual processor, and movies factor in a lot into how I think. And right now I'm just envisioning scenes from Saving Private Ryan. When everybody's in the war and injured guys are carrying other injured guys, they're all limping their way through it. And some of them are more leaders, but even you see that with Tom Hanks' character, far from perfect. And so that's the deal. Should the pastors be ahead of us? Yeah. Do they have more knowledge? Yes. Are they called? Yes. But they struggle too, and that's why I think this is a great opportunity to just encourage them, do something for them, and get them to the core conference. I don't want to miss this part because this is a big part of the core conference as well, but the role of prayer. Paul devoted himself to prayer, and obviously he left Timothy with that charge as well.
You know what I love about prayer in the New Testament, particularly in the setting of the church? If there's anything that eliminates any sense of professionalism about church, prayer does it, right?
Yeah.
Because it reminds us that this is a God thing. Like, the church is God's idea. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one that walks in the midst of the candlesticks. He's the one that said, "I will build my church," and we are called in dependence upon Him for all that the church is supposed to do. The wonderful thing about prayer is it is our primary source of encouragement. I get to go without a priest through Christ and talk to the God of the universe. And I think this is a time whenever prayer needs to become more real to us. We all have our prayer ease. It's this prayer language that somehow comes out that actually detaches me from actually talking to God. Mm. And when really hard times come, somehow that conversation gets more real. And I think this is a time for the church in general to get more real in its conversation with God. God, I don't understand. God, I don't know what to do. God, I know all of this truth about you, and I do believe, but I need your help. And I think it's time for us to actually connect with God, commune with God, and call out to God for the work of God to be done in our lives personally and in His church. And Paul reinforces with Timothy prayer. When you read through, okay, Timothy, you're going to lead this thing now. I'm leaving. Timothy 3, I'm leaving the tent. I'm going to be gone. You need to do this work. What should you do? He instructs him, call the church to prayer. And here's the way the church should be praying. Evangelism, you better pray about evangelism. Mm-hmm. What's going on in the community? Leaders, you better pray about your leaders. Everything calls us back to praying for God to do what only God can do. And the church needs to recognize that today. What do we do with COVID? We better pray. What do we do with elections? We better pray.
Yeah.
What do we do with a culture that's got a different worldview? We better pray. And I'm not sure that right now that's where everybody's mindset is. And we need to get there.
Yeah, I think we can oftentimes just kind of be in survival mode. I know a lot of us that are conservative Christians, evangelicals, can easily fall into the trap of political idolatry, and we look to Washington, D.C. and the political system to be the answer. We know ultimately that that isn't the answer, but we're so conditioned to approach it that way. And with prayer, again, you sit there go, hey, listen, all these problems are too big for us. What if, and this is always a disrupting reminder for myself, Alan, in my own prayer life, what if God's only going to take you seriously? He'll take you seriously based on the amount of weight you put into your prayer life on any given subject. So you say, man, I'm really concerned about what's going on in America regarding this, that, and the other thing. Oh, really? And then God stares you straight in the face and says, okay, Steve, do you want to know in the last 365 days how much time you've actually been into prayer on that particular subject? No, I don't think I want the answer to that. It's 22 minutes. Yeah. So you're whining about it, but you've in the last 365 days, you've put 22 minutes into praying over the lost or whatever. So who are you trying to kid? I mean, that's a brutal way of looking at it, but I think it's accurate.
Yeah. And Steve, I think we really need to bring this right down home. Mm. Husbands, are you praying for your wife?
Amen.
We feel the weight around us. We feel the discouragement. We see what's happening in culture. We all watch the news together. Do you ever walk away from that and say, whoa, I wonder what that left my wife feeling like? Mm. I'm going to pray for my spouse. You know what? I'm feeling this. My kids are younger than me. What are they feeling? Mm-hmm. Are we praying for our kids that way? I think that is the New Testament to prayer. Oh,
yeah.
God, would you make yourself real in the midst of these circumstances to my kids? They need to know who you are.
Yeah.
God, would you help them to see what our worldview is? Help them to know who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we need to be in prayer.
Such a great point that, and I know, you know, listen, most of us, you and I are about the same age. We see struggles with our kids. We raise them the right way. They're not always taking on our worldview. And again, God looks me square in the face and said, Steve, I understand that you're upset about it. I understand that you're concerned. But if you're all that concerned and all that upset, why aren't you praying more about it? That's a very good question. And maybe if we understood that that would unlock a lot of these answers, we would do it more. Such a great conversation as always, Alan. God bless you. Thank you for your time and all your efforts. And again, talking about the CORE conference, we'll keep touching on that over the next few weeks. But God bless you, friend. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Steve. God bless you, too.
You're welcome. God willing, I'll be with you guys again, not tomorrow, but on Monday. And in the meantime, like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.